before we get too far into the show, last week we recorded and did the Raid 2 for my birthday pick. And then we went out Saturday night and had a good time, man, eating some pizza and hanging out arcade. And I just wanted on a public forum say thank you to you fellas for and to Frank, the lost third, fourth co-host of the show, coming and hanging out with us too last weekend. That was a good time, man. I had fun playing old school video games and just hanging out with the fellas. It's good to get out now and then. Something we don't do as often in the world the last couple of years with COVID and everything, but things are starting to get back to normal. I mean, I think about it, in the last 2 months, I've been to Compalooza, an Astros game, a big arcade with a lot of people. It's like, you know, so it feels like starting to get a little bit more event-friendly things going on again, not being as scared to go out and things like that. So it was a good time. I had fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pizza was pretty good. Yeah,
pizza was good.
Yeah. New York style pizza.
Yeah, it really was kind of like New York style pizza.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was fine, man. I think there towards the end of the night, me and Matt were over in the corner tearing it up on a old school Batman Forever game. That was kind of crazy. It's just total hack and slash. We're just slamming buttons. We're getting all these power ups. We're like, what's going on here? Why is Batman need a power up? He's Batman. And Matt's like, I don't know, but they're just powered up everywhere. It was such a weird, bizarre game.
It's like,
there's all these made up villains in it, like Featherman. It was what the
fuck? It's like one with digital sprites.
Is that the one with whose wife?
Digital sprites.
Oh, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, it uses like a realistic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Graphic set of 3D polygons, digital, you know, actors.
It's and it's kind of like, it's like they took a page out of Altered Beast or something. You go power up, and then you start glowing and stuff, and your damage gets higher, and you can power up a couple more times, and you just go crazy. And it's like, man, what's happening here? You know, but But it was fun. It was fun. I think that was probably the most addicting game that we played, because we kept just kind of coasting through and we're like, oh, you know, don't want to leave. But it was like the last game of the night and it was getting late.
Yeah. It was cool. I had fun playing the old Star Wars Trilogy arcade game. That thing was always a quarter eater in the old X-Men arcade game. We had fun playing that. And so it was a good time. Thank you guys for coming out and celebrating birthday, and that was fun. And let's let it not be another year before we do anything like that again, though. Let's go hang out again soon.
For sure, man.
But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long.
And welcome to the show. How are you guys, man? I am beat, man. We've had inventory at work and we've been shorthanded, and my feet hurt. My body hurts. I'm old, but I'm on vacation starting tonight. So I'm off for 9 days. So that's good. But man, how are you guys?
Not bad. I don't want to drive a car at all this weekend. That's for sure. I'm all driven out.
Took a road trip today.
Oh boy. Oh, but yeah, I mentioned that I took a road trip to Schulenburg to, you know, transfer some cases for the San Antonio warehouse. So I had to drive back from Schulenburg, and then I had to make two deliveries in Baybrook Mall.
Holy shit. So you went from Schulenburg all the way out there?
Yeah, I went from Schulenburg back to my warehouse, right? And then back to my warehouse to pick up some stops to go, and then went to freaking Friendswood.
That's more. Wow. That's almost a day and a half in one day. Jeez,
it's 3 hours of driving, 3 to 4 hours of driving for Schulenburg total, and then another hour to get to Friendswood, so 2 hours, 5 hours worth it.
Wow,
yeah,
long you were tripping today, man. I would not have been upset if you had said, hey, can we record tomorrow night, knowing that you did all that. It would have been okay, but you're a trooper, you're here.
So. Yeah, but the worst part was my return from Friendswood to the warehouse. For some reason, Beltway 8 West was like stalled. There's no accident, no stalled vehicle. It was just slow. There's no reason for it. I know it was rush hour, but still, there was no reason for that slowdown. And, you know, usually that corridor is always the fastest part of Beltway 8 during rush hour.
Usually.
And I was stuck in that little 3 mile stretch for 45 minutes or to an hour. I was so frustrated because I wanted to get back to the warehouse before the fences closed, you know, and I didn't make it, of course, but whatever. Easy overtime.
There we go. Get that time and a half.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's good. You survived to tell the tale another day. That is some driving. And obviously people listening have like, what the fuck are they talking about? I don't know what those towns are or the city. Well, let's just say in Houston, everything is really fucking far apart. It can take 20 minutes to drive 4 miles sometimes. And that's just how it is. You know, unless you're fucking Matt over here, just speeds through everything. Yeah. Right, Matt?
Just flying, man. That's nothing right. Gets in my way.
Yeah, we know
that speed signs. That's a speed minimum, not a speed maximum, baby.
Oh, Lord. On that note, let's get into Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed this week, checked out. I'll go first. Well, I went first last week, didn't I? Yeah. Somebody else go first. I'm guessing along with his busy schedule.
I'll go.
Fucking shit. You go, Matt.
I'll go. Yeah, I watched, I've been watching car movies, and so I watched Fast Five, because, you know, it's got Gal Gadot in it, you know, Gal Gadot, so why not?
She is super skinny in that movie.
She looks like Gal Gadot.
That's before her Wonder Woman workout.
Mm-hmm. But she's still good in it. She's still Gal. She's still got that charm and that you know, cool, sensual attitude that she brings to her roles. And, you know, it was a fun movie to watch. I went ahead and rented Jurassic World Dominion. I went ahead and watched it because kids wanted a movie night. And I said, you know what? Let's watch Dominion. Let's see what it's all about. It is a little bit of a mess because it's like there's different storylines going on and they're happening, you know, parallel to each other before they intersect. And they, you know, it's kind of a, you know, just the intersection just kind of happens. And I feel like maybe it should have happened earlier. And I don't know, maybe there's a different way they could have done it. I guess it's okay, but you know,
I'm gonna interrupt you.
Still entertaining. I'm gonna
interrupt you just a little bit. I think,
yeah,
I'm going to wait for it because I read that its HBO Max debut probably should be sometime in September, October. So I'll just wait and watch it. But
yeah,
I think I'm starting to see now there's a reason that Lucasfilm fired Colin Trevorrow. I know people say that his script was great for his Star Wars and all that, but really Jurassic World's his only really well-reviewed movies. If you go look at his movies, none of them are very good. He's made some pretty bad films. So I'm starting to wonder if these creative differences were like Lucasfilm didn't feel he can make a good Star Wars movie, you know? Because how do you mess up a movie about dinosaurs, you know? It's like, so I'm just starting to wonder. There's more to Colin
Trevorrow. Studio interference.
Being that creative director.
Could be studio interference.
Easily studio interference.
This movie was supposed to be out.
They wouldn't do that if
yeah, but Jurassic World was supposed to be out a year ago. They had definitely plenty of time to edit it, right? Appearance. You know? So, go ahead, Matt.
I think if he had come out with his version of the third Star Wars movie, it would have been a lot better than that apology shit show we saw from Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
It would have just, like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're onto something, Long. You know, sometimes, you know, we've seen it happen, you know, to movies that probably should have been a whole lot better is, you know, studio, wants to listen to, you know, some other input other than the director, and, you know, they put their hands in it, and it's like, you know, just kind of goes the wrong way. But, other than that, I thought Universal Soldier was on HBO Max, but they only have the sequels to Universal Soldier. They don't have the original one. They have the sequel and the second sequel, which I wasn't interested in those. Didn't even realize that it had two sequels, because I just got on this Van Damme, you know, just kind of thing. I don't know. I just was like, yeah, you know, when's the last time I've seen a Van Damme movie?
Damn, it's nothing.
You know, well, he had a sequence of good movies. Hard Target was really good. I mean, everyone loves Bloodsport, you know, for what it is. Yeah, but I feel like Hard Target. Yeah.
Universal Soldier, it doesn't hold up real well. It's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those 80s films that made it into the 90s somehow after Hard Target, you know, at very, very 80s style.
Well, it's called the direct VHS DVD market, but started booming. So like, hey, what cult film can we make sequels to?
Yeah. And then, he had Time Cop right after that. And, but I couldn't find Time Cop streaming anywhere. I ended up not watching Time Cop. So just Universal Soldier. And it's kind of like, Bloodsport. It reminds me of Bloodsport, except he's not a superhero. He's an elite soldier. He dies in a fight with his other officer, Dolph Lundgren, and they both kill each other. They get brought back to life, you know, using machines. And then there's a ghost in the shell somewhere. He remembers what happens. He remembers his previous life. He goes rogue. Dolph Lundgren and another team of these same soldiers kind of hunt him down. And, you know, it's okay. Like you said, Mark, you're not missing much if you don't see it. But when it came out, it was popular. But that's about it for me.
I've only been watching the current season of Overlord season 4, though, which is an anime, and that's the only thing I watched. If you haven't seen Overlord, I highly recommend it. It's on Crunchyroll, all 4 seasons of it. And there are only 12 episodes per season as well. So
Overlord,
it's a great fantasy anime. Other than that, that's it. So I was watching random YouTube videos like Guga Foods and about some guy who YouTuber who dry ages steaks and grills them in different methods. I don't know why I've been watching that.
Hey, and, man, and, nothing wrong with watching, you know, cool food on the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I am.
That's it. YouTube is great for if you're bored. So, I've been doing a lot of FF14 stuff as well. And then today there was a producer live lettered of the upcoming content patch. Just going to drop on August 24th and 25th, I think. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. New dungeon, new boss fights, new raid tier, new gear sets. It's going to be great.
Nice, man.
Cool. Well, I've been on, like, ever since we did Field of Dreams a couple weeks ago. I mean, I love baseball anyway, but I've been kind of on a baseball kick. And then this week, Major League Baseball had their Field of Dreams game last night where they play at the – it's not on the actual field. You know, baseball set up a temporary field where they play. And so, I don't know, I came home today after and just wanted to de-stress and I watched A League of Their Own because it's on Amazon Prime. And I guess I didn't even know they were making a series. It's going to be on Amazon Prime called A League of Their Own. You know, it's a fun movie about, you know, the girls playing baseball during the wartime. And yeah, I just wanted to watch something I didn't have to think too hard to watch today when I got home from work. And I watched that this afternoon, and still, it still holds up well. Tom Hanks is really good in that movie. I like it. And
there's
then
no crying in baseball.
That's right. That's and great. The longest pee in movie history is in A League of Their Own.
And then
it's like a 5-minute pee.
Yeah. And then I watched the first episode of The Sandman on Netflix, and I really like that a lot. I just haven't had time to watch the second one. Well, actually, I think I just watched the first. Yeah, it was last night when I watched it. So I really, but man, it's definitely a pretty much direct adaptation of the comics. I mean, they changed some stuff, but and to be fair, I've only read the first volume of the comics, which apparently the first season is based on the first volume of the comics, and really good production values for Netflix. They spent a lot of money on this show. It looks great. It's a complex story about the Dream and the members of the Endless and his quest to get back his things that are taken from him after he's in prison for 100 years. But well acted so far. Good stuff. I'm definitely gonna give it a shot. I mean, it's doing really well on Netflix. It's getting really well reviewed, getting a lot of watches. So we might actually get a Netflix show that might get more than one season, since they tend to fucking cancel everything. But if you're into graphic novels and well-written fantasy stories, man, The Sandman, I think both of you guys would like it. It's good so far. Other than that, I know Matt watched this too, and I think that's why he didn't mention it, because he was saving it. But, man, I watched a new Predator movie on Hulu, Prey, and, man, it was badass. I actually liked it quite a bit. And, Matt, don't shoot me when I say this, but, man, I think it's better than the original film, because it's just – it's tighter. I think it's more solid. I mean, it's being reviewed better than the original film, to be fair.
What other people say, it's okay.
No, I'm just saying in general, it's being better reviewed.
Wow. But that's triggered hard here. I've never heard it before.
I like it, man. I think
we've had a fucking quotable ass movie for the past 40 fucking years. And because this movie aired in 1 week, you're like, oh my God, it's better than all these fucking memes, the videos, the
odes,
the quotes, the fucking.
Just because it doesn't
you don't
make
understand
that movie
why we had two quotable. Fucking badass governors in the film, Action Jackson,
it doesn't make,
Shane
doesn't
Black.
Make the old movie any less quotable. That's like when people say it ruined my childhood. No, they didn't. It doesn't change anything about the original movie. The original movie is still a classic.
I'm just saying these people are like ready to just take a shit on the first movie because in 1 week, this is the flavor of the fucking week. That's a fucking t-shirt. All right.
I never shit on the movie. I never said that the original sucked.
He was just talking about his personal preference that he liked it more.
Tighter, more focused, better. I think it works better. I think the simplicity of it works better than the original.
There's no chopper, Mark.
I love the younger, more feral predator in this one. I think it was cool. Like he makes mistakes, you know, which I think was awesome. So it adds new elements to the predator mythos. I thought it was cool, man. I enjoyed Predator 2 for what it was, and the one with Danny Trejo that was filmed here in Texas, Predators, that one's okay. But this was like, this was the first film that's truly worthy, I think, of being a true. Well, it's a prequel, it's not a sequel, but to take place in that franchise. And I just thought it did a lot of things really right. It's almost like if you had the CGI effects, and there's nothing wrong with the Stan Winston's effects from the original Predator, but some of the things they did, I think, this movie's cleaner. People kept saying it had rough CGI. I didn't really notice any rough CGI. Maybe a couple of the deaths or something, possibly. But it was fine, you know. I don't know. I just felt like it's a really tight, good science fiction thriller. And the young girl who plays Naru, she was really good in it.
Mid-Thunder.
Yeah. But I liked it, man. I didn't say it was better than the original. I said I might like it better than the original. I just like – this feels like the prior movie I always wanted to make another one of.
There are critics out there that are trying to say,
Matt, this is America. He can like whatever he likes.
That's true.
I don't think it's way better, but I
people
think
can
it's
have.
You know, I it feels like this was the Predator film. that this should have been the sequel years ago. It's such a simple idea. Keep Predator simple. You know, when you go and start trying to do more with it,
I agree with a lot.
He's a hunter. He goes somewhere to hunt.
Saying, you know, Mark, with the Predator design, but
you could do the same.
I think
different times.
Yeah. And it's a good story. I look at it independently of itself, and I'm not going to compare it to the original film because that's like, you know, maybe I'm overreacting. That's like comparing, you know, Joe Montana with the hottest young quarterback that just came into the league, right? This movie just came out onto the screens for 1 week. I'm not ready. I'm not going to compare it to a legend. Right.
Yeah, but that's
that Predator that's movie is different. A science fiction
sports player has a
there are people career. Out there.
The sports player
has same thing with movies. Movies build their years. Repertoire. They build their yeah.
Not
they,
always.
They build their stature over years. And to me, it's there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, it's different. That's why it's called an analogy. You take something that's completely different.
Matt, you're totally taking advantage of your. Better connection to the internet than
Hell yeah, I know he's like lagging. I can talk over
he's
him.
Lagging, he's lagging,
like, oh yeah, but you know it is a good movie. I love it for a lot of things, like what you said, Mark. It's a tight story, very believable, very realistic, and you know Jackie was. I think she mentioned something like, oh, you know how you know that was you know how she outsmarted. You know, the Predator, and I think that's how you would realistically take out a Predator.
She makes mistakes too, I hear.
She makes mistakes too. But, you know, she's, I'm trying not to get into, I just realized I was kind of getting into spoiler territory. Sorry about that long. But it's basically how she defeats him. Because obviously the Predator has to die. And it's a more primal predator as you see from the clips. And it's really cool. I just like how they kept everything from the other films. They take out threats, things that are threats to them, things that are sport to them. And it takes elements from Predator 1 and 2. And I feel like it's a really good movie. And I think Mark said it, you know, just nailed it on the head when he said it's crazy that it took us this long to get a really good, you know, Predator film within the franchise. You know, something that you're like, hey man, this is wow. You know, this is interesting. You
yeah,
know,
we get watch. It, Matt. We get it. You love the original Predator, but we're not talking about Prey yeah. right now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next feature.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's all that needs to be said. You already know my stance on the original.
Dan Trachtenberg.
You're beating a dead Trachtenberg horse, was, basically.
Dan Trachtenberg.
I need to see that Trejo movie. Yeah.
You never seen Predators?
I've never seen Predators.
Predators really? Is a good movie, actually.
I've seen Alien versus Predator.
I would say, I think Predators is really good until about the last 20 minutes. I don't like the ending of it. That part was probably the only part that I didn't care for.
I didn't mind the ending. I didn't mind it at all, honestly.
But Dan Trachtenberg had a plan. You know, this movie was supposed to be a viral release originally. Prey was going to they were going to put out a couple of small teasers and not really tell anybody what it was. And then they were just going to put the movie out on Hulu and let people discover it. But they had a really cool viral campaign that was supposed to happen with this movie. But when things leaked out early, they end up having to kind of promote it like an actual movie. But, oh, well, you know, it's just the way it is nowadays. But, you know, Dan Trachtenberg, he's only made a couple of films so far. But, like, I really did like his 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then I liked this. So he seems like he's on the up and up as far as making a solid science fiction films. And, maybe we'll see him do some more good stuff in the future. But yeah, that's really all I watched is just Prey in the first episode of The Sandman. So recommend both of them. Well, let's get into today's featured film. Going back to, was it 93, I believe? Movie based on the popular television show from the 1960s, and this stars Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones, and that is The Fugitive. Basic premise, I guess I'll summarize it, is Harrison Ford plays Dr. Richard Kimball, and the movie opens up with him. His wife has just been murdered, and he is ultimately believed to be the primary suspect, and he is arrested and sent to trial. And as he's being transferred to prison, his prison bus, one of the guys tries to start a distraction, which crashes the bus, and then some of the prisoners are killed, and he escapes. Harrison Ford escapes, Richard Kimball. And he goes on a quest to find out, to prove his innocence, that is, he did not kill his wife, with Tommy Lee Jones as the hot shot, Gerard, U.S. Marshal, on his tail the entire way. And it becomes a cat and mouse whodunit style film, which is pretty exciting. I mean, to be honest, I was rewatching this, and I've seen it several times, and I just felt like this movie holds up, I thought, extremely well for a 30-year-old film. There was a lot of great thrillers like this made in the 90s and the 80s. And I mean, even now we still make great thrillers, but this one is among the better ones. I mean, it was nominated for Best Picture. Tommy Lee Jones won Best Supporting Actor for this, even though he cracked that they were making a movie that nobody was going to win awards for, and he actually won, which is kind of funny. But I think I'm pretty sure I saw this on the big screen back in the 90s. I used to go to the movies a lot, and I kind of remember seeing this probably with my parents or something. And watching it this week, I think it's still an exciting thriller. And we talked about movies based on video games in the past or television shows and things like that. And we're always like, well, what is the best? And I mentioned the preview last week's show. This might be the best movie ever made based on a television show, now that I think about it. It could be. What are your guys' initial reactions when y'all saw The Fugitive?
I liked it. And that's the first time I ever seen Harrison Ford in the beard. Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. That was the first movie where I actually started paying attention to Tommy Lee Jones as an actor. He deserved that Oscar win for this. He was nominated for an Oscar for sure. But I don't know if he got the win on it.
He did win for this movie. Yeah, he won Best Supporting Actor.
Okay, he did. Okay, good. There's a couple of iconic moments from the film that still sticks to my mind. One was the scene where he's trying to escape the bus before the train hits the prison bus. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a very famous scene. And of course, the scene where he was cornered by Tommy Lee Jones inside the dam. And that's another iconic scene. And I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. Anyways. Great chemistry between the two.
Yeah.
I first ever heard about this film after watching The Mask, because, you know, Jim Carrey in that movie, I remember quoting it to my mom, like, it wasn't me, it was the one-armed man. And she's like, oh, that's a reference to the Harrison Ford movie, The Fugitive. And I was like, really? And so I remember she put it on, and I don't think I watched it all the way through. I remember the ending where Tommy Lee Jones is like, oh, I believe you. I know what happened. And I always remember Harrison Ford kind of saving Tommy Lee Jones's life at the end. But this was my first time watching it all the way through. And I feel like it's solid. It's a solid film even now. It's probably, you know, probably really good, you know, really good reactions whenever it first opened up, because obviously it grossed more than $300 million over its budget, you know, getting, you know, in profits. So it performed really well. It was a really good film, and I think it still holds up today. Still very fun to watch.
Yeah, this movie's all.
Did you know I've only seen The Mask once, and I've had enough?
Really?
That's it. I don't plan on rewatching the film ever again. even if it's a feature film, if we ever have to do that.
Thank you, Laura, for that old man opinion. Middle of the show.
But not an old man opinion, because I've seen the film.
Yeah, in fact, you talk about the promise this movie made.
You agree with me deep down.
I genuinely like the mask. Because, you know, it's funny. We'll go on a little tangent here. I'm not a huge Jim Carrey guy. Like, I think he made a couple of funny movies. Like, you know, but The Mask is one of his films I actually kind of enjoy. You know, I'm not a huge... Yeah, I didn't buy into the whole Jim Carrey thing when he became popular in the 90s and early 2000s. Like, I enjoyed that. I liked The Truman Show. The Majestic, that was a very underrated good film. But, like, Ace Ventura is kind of stupid. It really is. Some of Liar Liar was kind of dumb. Yeah, he was okay. You know. So, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I get why he was popular.
He grew up in a van with a family of janitors. He had to watch his parents scrub floors and live out of a van, and he made it where he is today, Mark. How dare you? How dare you, Mark?
Did I knock his success story? No.
There you go.
I thought he was
great.
All right.
Every time I mention Jim Carrey, great. I'll take it.
I mean, you know, whatever. Anyway, can we talk about the movie, please?
Yeah, we can.
This movie, you know, Well, now, you know, China is a big market now for American films. Yeah. And this was the first film to play in China after almost 40 years. And it was a massive hit. They bought into it. They loved it there. This made a lot of money there. They were like, you know, they knew who Harrison Ford was, because at this point, you know, some American films like Star Wars and stuff had reached China. So this was a movie that was responsible for bringing American films back to China after a long time. In theaters, at least, because, like I said, they were able to get copies of their movies. So it was a hit. Nominated for awards. Like we said, it was nominated for Best Picture. Tommy Lee Jones won for Best Supporting Actor, and it had some other nominations. So it did very well. Julianne Moore was supposed to have a bigger part in the movie, where she kind of had a brief love interest moment with Harrison Ford, but they felt that it messed with the flow of the film, and they cut it out. And they actually did film all that stuff. And I can see that. Like, there was no need for it. You know, he's still trying to figure out who killed his wife. Why would he all of a sudden have this brief sexual love affair moment with a random doctor? You know, it's like, so I'm fine that they left.
Exactly.
The great, you know, we didn't even talk yet about Andreas Katsoulis, who plays the one-armed man in this. You know, he was probably best known for playing Jakar in Babylon 5. But, you know, he's in this, and man, he's like a presence of a man. Like, he's big, and he looks like he can kick your ass. And he's good in his role. I like the scene where they're in his apartment, and he's all like, "Oh, it must be me." Like, he just plays off the sarcasm and everything very well in that scene. And that's just how he is as an actor. Like, if you watch Babylon 5, he chews up the screen, and he's not given a whole lot to do in this movie. But I've seen Andreas in a few other things over the years, and he was always just a good character actor. And he's fantastic in B5 as Jakar. So it's good to see him in this movie. And the train was actually crashed for real. They had one take on it, and the train actually ended up going faster than they planned, but it all came out the way it was supposed to be, and it looks great on film. I like that, because it was cheaper for them to buy these locomotives to crash than it was to make miniatures. So that's pretty neat. But it works, because practical effects are always better.
Oh, heck yeah. I guess he injured himself, too, from that bus crash. At the beginning when he escapes, and I'd always wondered why he keeps limping throughout the film. And I guess he wanted to make it more realistic. Like, you know, his character got injured, you know, escaping, and he refused to get surgery, to repair that injury for the duration of the film, so that he could kind of keep that mystique up.
Mm-hmm. It's also the only television-based movie to ever be nominated for Best Picture. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Wow.
And because there have been movies that have been based on, Like Traffic in 2000 was based on a television miniseries, so it's not actually a TV show. 12 Angry Men was based on a play. People always thought it was a TV show, but it was staged on television. That's why people think that. So that's pretty cool. Some other thing, I was reading some stuff about this movie. But I think, you know, I think the movie, I think it's an exciting thriller. I was thinking when I was watching it, like, you know, these simple Hollywood films like this, if they're made really well with good actors and good tight stories, I think they are fun to watch. Like, I always think about Breakdown with Kurt Russell. You know, it was a good tight thriller. And this was like that. And they originally did have an idea. You were talking pre-show about U.S. Marshals. I think there was an idea one time to do a sequel that actually brought Richard Kimmel back in the film, but they ended up going a different route. And I think it wouldn't have made really a lot of sense to have Richard Kimmel in a sequel. You know, what did you do? You killed your wife again?
Yeah.
He'll probably be brought on as like a medical consultant.
Right. Since
Kimmel is a doctor. No.
Yeah.
Or they may have to partner up with him on something.
A lot of that lines were ad-libbed in this film, Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford, which is more common nowadays in films. You know, get actors ad-libbing, but back then, not so common. But it did cause some arguments on the set. Tommy Lee Jones is kind of known to be a bit, not maybe an asshole on set, but he's known to maybe challenge directors. And he did challenge Andrew Davis quite a bit on this film with different things. Like he felt that his character should not have shot towards the courthouse because he would have looked out for innocence. But so it caused delay in filming while they convinced Tommy Lee Jones to shoot it the way it was actually shot. You know, so and some other things he challenged.
Yeah, he didn't like
lines.
He didn't like that exchange in the sewer where Harrison Ford's like, "I didn't kill my wife." And instead of saying, "I don't care," he was supposed to say, "How's that my problem?" Or, "That's not my problem," which I think Tommy Lee did a better job of dialogue. I think "I don't care" is better than,
yeah, because "That's not my problem." Yeah, it illustrates his character's one mold, you know, mindset of, yep, I just want to capture someone.
You know? His job is to get his man. He doesn't care, you know, what the ins and outs are of it. His job is to bring you in. Yep.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Boom.
Like the end of the film, too, where he's like, "You know, I'm glad. I need to rest." When it's all over. So you can tell they had good chemistry working together in the film. And this is interesting. As of 2018, is the last film starring Harrison Ford to be nominated for the Best Picture. I mean, you think about everything Harrison's done over the years, and that's a lot. Filming began before the script was completed. Interesting. Well, yeah, it's not really uncommon. And we talked about when we did Gladiator, most of Gladiator was made up as they went along, and it won Best Picture. That's crazy to think about that.
It's like whenever you don't have a plan in place, that's when you do the best.
Yep. Harrison Ford had never watched the show, even though he knew about it. Andreas Katsoulis said he had never watched the original show as a child because he was too afraid of the one-armed man. Walter Hill almost directed this with Nick Nolte. Yeah, the movie they were trying to make this for about 5 years until it really took Harrison Ford signing on to the film. After watching, interesting because I don't always think of Under Siege as like a great action film, but I guess Harrison Ford watched it and he knew Andrew Davis directed it, and that's what sold him to make the movie. And once Harrison signed on, the movie finally got made after several years of development hell. But glad it got made though. I mean, this is a good tight thriller. I
enjoyed it. Parodied by Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. There's lots of one-armed man jokes over the years because of this movie, the original TV show. Harrison Ford has talked about it still being one of his favorite movies he made, too, so he enjoyed making it, which for him says a lot.
Nielsen, he made a film, Wrongfully Accused. I guess it's kind of like his Naked Gun kind of stuff.
Yeah. But it's a good film, man. It's a good one. I'm glad we covered it. I really enjoyed watching it this week. I thought it was a fun rewatch. And we were talking a bit about pre-show, about like some of these movies like this are like comfort films. Like you rewatch it and you remember it instantly because they're well made like that. And you start going, oh yeah, I remember this scene. And it's a good movie. But I think it's a pretty solid thriller. I'd probably give it an A. You know, I think it holds up well for a 30-year-old movie and it's still good.
I like it.
Thanks, Frank.
It's an A for me. But one beef that I have with this film is his defense lawyer. The guy's like just sitting there the whole time. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
You feel like he could pay for, you know, someone to expose the bad work that the cops didn't do.
I would agree with that. That's probably if I had one small issue with the film, I was thinking that too. I was watching the other day. I was like, that's it? His lawyer's not going to stand up for him? Like, you know, yeah,
it's like, you know, Harrison's getting fucking berated with all this shit, and he's just like looking at Harrison. Man, it sucks for you.
Oh yeah, and then they're like, it's her blood and his skin under her fingernails, and they just make it a something. Yeah, but oh well.
Yep.
I guess you got to forgive a little bit. So, all right. Well, The Fugitive on HBO Max right now. If you want to watch it, that's where it's streaming. All right. Before we do the news, it's that time of the month where we talk this month in pop culture history. Matt, what you got for us?
Man, you know, Mark had a birthday, and he shares a birthday with a famous celebrity, and that is Justin Hoffman. So just a fun fact out there for Mark, as he shares a birthday with the great Dustin Hoffman. I think it was in Rain Man. I think that was Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
Also Hook.
Yeah, Hook. He was Captain Hook. That's right.
And Outbreak.
Outbreak. There we go. We got a lot of good films with Hoffman. But
Midnight Cowboy.
Dang. Oh yeah, Midnight Cowboy. I forget about some of those films with him. Little Big Man. A lot of early 90s stuff with Hoffman. But he also shares some famous deaths also happened on Mark's birthday. And that's Peter Cushing. Peter Cushing passed away on Mark's birthday in 1994.
Thanks, Mark.
And Robin Williams in 2014. So, yeah, thanks, Mark.
That's not my fault.
We had, you know, Comic Palooza still hasn't been far away. So this month in pop culture history, in 1992, the 25th San Diego Comic-Con opened at the Doubletree Hotel. Isn't that crazy? It started in a hotel. And then in 1998, just six years later, they started hosting it at the San Diego Convention Center. Just crazy how popular it's gotten, and now
I've forgotten their Doubletree existed.
Yeah,
and San Diego Comic Con is the mecca.
Yeah. 1939. I'm gonna go way back. The Wizard of Oz was debuted. You know, of course, with Judy Garland, and Margaret Hamilton. And, you know, I remember that one being one of the first movies I ever saw, like one of the first VHSs I remember seeing, just cause, you know, my parents really liked that film. And, yeah, talking about iconic things, that's a very iconic movie.
I hate that fucking
movie. And, this month you hate it.
Cause yeah, my wife liked it a lot. That's why.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of campy.
It's one of her. It was one of the ex-wife's favorite movies, so fuck it. I don't like it. I respect
1942.
It. That's it.
Yeah. Bambi was released. Disney releases Bambi on VHS.
I
didn't realize. Well, you know.
In theaters.
It was released in theaters. I'm sorry. there was another thing on here for a VHS that I chose not to pick, but I kind of got it mixed up. 1987, Dirty Dancing released with Patrick Swayze. And everyone loves a little bit of Swayze. So
definitely two leads in that film.
Yeah, Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey, of course.
They didn't get along though, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. But you know, I think after the movie was made, they did have a solid friendship. I remember her talking about whenever he passed.
Because I'm not going to blame my boy Patrick. He's stony.
No, man.
It's got to be her fault. You know? Yeah.
Red Dawn.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Not going to. Yeah, dude. And then in 2019, this month in 2019, Dwayne The Rock Johnson named the highest actor for the second year in a row, $89.4 million. Made $89.4 million that year. Which is more than, I think, more than Downey Jr. Yeah, man. He's got it. 1907. We go all the way back to 1907, man. 100 years ago. Harry Houdini.
95 years.
Yeah. Harry Houdini escapes from chains underwater in 57 seconds. I thought that was kind of cool because, you know, every movie makes like a Houdini, Houdini references are in movies and, I don't think we ever had a chance to mention Harry Houdini on the show. So there we go.
That's great. Mark,
you had mentioned something earlier in the week. Buckaroo Banzai, baby. Buckaroo Banzai, 1984. This month, right? It was released in theaters.
August 10th.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And to piggyback off of that, you want to say something, Mark?
Oh, no, no.
I heard you taking a breath like you were going to prepare your fandom for it.
I just want some. I was realizing the other day that I just want some. I would like some toy company to release a Buckaroo Banzai action figure, and I think I'd be pretty happy. That's it. You know?
That's not unreasonable. I think you could have some success with that.
Yeah.
Maybe even Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yeah, do a direct market thing where it's only sold in comic stores. Obviously, you're not going to mass produce it to like Targets and Walmarts, but I think it's a cult movie enough that if you were to do a DC direct type thing where they're only sold in comic stores, I think people would buy it. Movie's definitely got its following.
And then lastly, we have to cover this. 1967, this month, the final TV episode of The Fugitive starring David Janssen was watched by 78 million people. That's a lot for 1967.
That is a lot, yeah. Well, they tuned in to find out if he was innocent and who killed his wife. That's crazy, man. Yeah. I think that show ran 120 episodes. I mean, that's a lot of TV, even for back then. That's a lot of TV now for shows.
Hell yeah, man. A lot of people would love to have 67 million viewers on a TV show.
It's free to watch on Pluto TV. Well, I guess only the first couple of seasons. But I'm going to add one little thing, even though your segue there was perfect. Don't forget, I'll talk about people that died on my birthday. Jeez, man, that was rough. But Transformers the movie came out on my birthday in 1986. In August.
Ah, yes.
Still the greatest animated film of all time. Maybe not the greatest, but in my own childlike mind, it's the greatest animated film of all time. So,
for me, it was my most traumatic.
Yeah.
Because Ironhide died.
Because
Jazz died.
It is a brutal. It is a brutal movie.
But it's Optimus Prime died.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember being traumatized when I was a kid. I remember seeing it because my dad took me to see it, and I remember more going like, "Who are all these new fucking Transformers?" I mean, I might have said "fucking" at 10 years old, but that was my thought. I was like, they're all dead. Who's this green guy and this pink girl? And yeah, I remember that being my thoughts when I saw it as a kid. Like, what the hell happened here? Then a month later, because literally like a month later, the new season started and everyone's going. It's all these new Transformers, Hot Rod, all these people. And I remember it being more confused as a kid trying to figure out like, wait a minute. And it was when I was an adult, I realized like, oh, they're just trying to sell more fucking toys. No, so they had to come up with new characters. So, but it worked. One of the most successful franchises of all
time. Yep.
All right. Well, let's do a little bit of news. Well, I'm going to do the quick news breeze first, and we'll talk about this whole Ezra Miller situation. But, man, you know, I actually have the DreamWorks stuff. I think the Kung Fu Panda movies are kind of exciting, and they're going to do a fourth one finally. They announced Kung Fu Panda 4 will be out in 2024 with Jack Black coming back to do the voices and thing. I think that's pretty cool. I actually kind of enjoy that franchise. You know, I always thought like DreamWorks has struggled. Well, DreamWorks has struggled the last couple of years with some of their films. And my thoughts were like, I even thought that why not go back to your franchises that made you a lot of money, like Shrek and Kung Fu Panda. So we got Kung Fu Panda announcement, and Mike Myers has talked some Shrek. He has claimed that there is a script ready to go for a fifth Shrek film, but it's just a matter of DreamWorks being interested in doing it. So maybe it'll happen.
They got all that money from Rise of Gru.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that's a different studio. That's Illumination. That's Universal.
Oh, I thought that was DreamWorks.
No.
I guess.
Love, Death, and Robots has been renewed for a fourth season on Netflix. I think it's pretty cool that this started as like a little side project for David Fincher and his friends to make these animated shorts. And now we're getting a fourth season. I've only watched most of the first season and parts of the second, and some really cool animation. I got to get caught up on that. But I think that's pretty neat that little show that David Fincher did as a, like I said, just a project is going to get a fourth season. That's pretty neat because I think there is a place in the world for adult animation. You know, it doesn't all have to be kids. And some of those are really cool, and some of them are kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, I know you guys have watched some of them. They're all right. But there is a couple of really badass ones. So, John Wick 4 is going to be the longest movie in the franchise. Director, I can't think of his name, was telling people this week, yeah, just be ready. You might want to hold your bladder. It's going to be the longest film in the franchise. So that's kind of good news. So our long wait for John Wick 4 is going to be worth it with a little extra
keeping Lionsgate Studios afloat, apparently. Yeah,
basically. So lastly, the news, Ezra Miller, man, got in trouble again this week, wanted for felony burglary. And he turned himself in, I guess, or they found him at his family farm is what it was. Man, what a mess for Warner Brothers. You know, we had the news last week about the Batgirl cancellation. And now word is that they have told Ezra that he needs to get help. I mean, this is all rumor. No one knows for sure. And that if he shows signs of doing better, when he gets out from getting help, that he'll be allowed to do limited press for the film. One rumor is that they're going to allow him to do no press for the film, and they're going to try to focus more on Michael Keaton and the other characters do press for the film. And the third rumor is they could scrap the film entirely. But but from all the things, it seems that Warner Brothers really doesn't want to do that. Man, I just like this guy is got the world in front of him. He could have been a huge star with a role like this, and he's throwing it all away because he's got, unfortunately, it seems he has, you know, mental health issues and the such, and he can't keep his life together. And all you can do is hope the best for him that he can get his life together. But at the same time, I really want to see this Flash movie because it's apparently tested well. We've been hearing about it for 3 or 4 years now. It's like, let's see the damn movie finally. He's just unfortunately created a mess for Warner Brothers and the other people. I don't know what the right decision is to make. I think, well, honestly,
reshoot the movie with Grant Gustin, damn it.
Well,
fuck it.
Warner Brothers said they've rolled that out already because it would just cost too much. I really think that you just, at this point, I think you do one of two things. I don't think you scrap it, but I think you either try to put it in movie theaters with limited press, or you just put it out on HBO Max at this point. So people can see it. It's a shame, man, because, like, you know, Marvel's over there doing their thing and they're putting out a bunch of product and people are loving it. And DC's over here trying to do their thing and putting out a bunch of product. And some of it's worked and some of it hasn't worked. And then you have a situation like this that just causes all sorts of problems. And, cause I really want to see Michael Keaton back as Batman.
That would be nice.
Yeah. You know, even if it's for just 15 minutes. I mean, Affleck and Ben Affleck's in the film too. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, I know you guys probably feel like me. You want to see the movie and just want to release it.
I'd rather see the movie. I hope they don't scrap it.
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
Sure. Outside of the movie.
Yeah.
But I'll just watch it for Michael Keaton. I don't really give a shit about Ezra Miller.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of his version of The Flash. I mean, I think the Snyder Cut, he was a little better because they took out the corny shit that Whedon had put into his version. But, yeah, I'm the same way long. I know it doesn't matter to me who plays The Flash. I mean, it was more for me seeing Michael Keaton. You know, I feel, though, like, right now we're in August. The movie's supposed to be out in June. Is it June of next year? It's like, it feels like there's enough time to pull him to the side and say, look, you know, let's fix this now. And just put him on some sort of watch. Maybe, I don't know, or get him the help that he needs. Cause you don't want to see anybody fall like this. It's a human being. And hopefully Ezra can right the ship and we can get the Flash movie we deserve next year. And one thing we do know for sure, he's out as a Flash after this. Warner Bros. Has pretty much confirmed that they will recast going forward. And the crazy thing is, word is he showed up for reshoots in between all his trouble. Like, since the arrest in Hawaii, he showed up for reshoots. That's so bizarre. So it's like, who knows? So hopefully this time next year we're seeing the Flash. Is it next summer when that came out? It's supposed to be out, or is it earlier? I'm looking real quick. Seeing.
I thought it was next summer.
Yeah, it's due June 23rd next year. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all the news I got. Before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film. How do you describe this movie? Kind of a dark tale on Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is kind of... It's been a while since I've seen this movie. He's kind of a bounty hunter, right, of sorts in this movie, or he's like a hitman that takes out people for high-paying clients. And so he takes Jamie Foxx along for a ride with him. And we're obviously talking Michael Mann's Collateral on next week's show.
You know, if you just listened to me, we'd be all bogged down in traffic right now, and you would have made yourself an extra $5.
Yeah, well, you keep that $5, buy you something special.
Hey, come on.
I'll take it. I got 5 stops to make.
What's your name?
Max.
Max. I'm Vincent.
I'll meet you in the alley behind the building.
Oh, no! What the hell? You killed him.
Red light, Max.
Hold on.
Man, you were gonna drive me around tonight and never be the wiser, but we're into plan B. Now, we gotta make the best of it. Improvise, adapt to the environment. Whatever, man, we gotta roll with it.
You just met him once and you kill him like that?
What, I should only kill people after I get to know them?
I'm not up for this.
What are you gonna do about it?
There's a man named Vincent.
I got another DOA.
He's already killed witnesses. He's coming to kill you.
with my work. Gotta roll with it. Adapt.
Get your hands in the air!
That's fun coming from you.
Slow down! Shoot me!
This is a good movie. It really is. It's a different take for Tom Cruise, seeing him play a villain, something he doesn't really do over the years. But he saw it in the film, as is Jamie Foxx. And I've only seen this a couple of times, so I don't remember it real well. So I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching it. And I've always enjoyed Michael Mann's films. He's a hell of a director with a good eye. And it should be fun to watch on next week's show. And see where we go with that. You guys have seen it before, right? I know you've long seen it. Matt, you've seen Collateral, huh?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it once.
Yeah. I know I saw it in theaters, and I watched it, and I remember liking it, and I think I saw it one other time after that. So, definitely be a good – it'll be a fun one to watch on next week's show. But until then, the RebelRadioPodcast.com, that is where you can find us, and on all podcast apps as usual. And just continue to be safe out there. And thank you, as always, for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
And until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.